So how warm was Italy, John?
It was about 35.
See, Cellino?
No.
No. Bart Bressy running.
I thought I saw Silvestri at one point.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did he play against Newcastle yesterday? Because they played Newcastle, Alice, Verona.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Did you really see him?
No.
No. Who did you see?
I was going to make a joke about someone jumping spaghetti and
Luke Gale, like. Weren't it? Saw Luke Gale?
I saw Luke Gale, yeah. Castleford Tigers.
Brilliant.
Really weird in a cafe.
I bet we should really start talking about why we're here, to be honest.
Yeah.
Instead of your holiday. But it sounds nice.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it.
It was nice.
It's a very deep question, that one.
Yeah. So tonight we're joined by the usual suspects of John, Rob and myself. Sadly, Dave can't be here today. He's rebricking his house. And we're joined by a 3-time Brit Award winner, 1-time Ivor Novello, 2 Meteor Music Awards, 3 Enemy Awards and 3 Q Awards. Pretty impressive, that.
Impressive.
Yeah,
that Simon is. Ricks of the Kaiser Chiefs.
Hello.
Hiya. Welcome. A little bit your domain, recording studio, isn't it?
It's nice, isn't it?
It's nice.
Makes me feel at home.
It's got a very chipboardy vibe.
Yes, it's very new. It's a bit too new.
Yeah.
Also, all studios used to always be wrecked by smoking, but it made them good and like vibey.
Yeah.
But now they're always very new and metal-y.
Chipboardy.
Yeah, it's a bit smart though, isn't it? It's got some spotlights and some fairy lights and stuff. Mm. They still won't let us into the room behind us to play with the new stuff. I think he locks that up deliberately. But
yeah. Smells a bit like B&Q as well. Other outlets, obviously.
That bit chipboard. So anyway, Simon, thank you very much for coming on. You're following along an illustrious line of guests, and we've just mentioned about the gauntlet of who can get the most listens, which is currently being won by Mr. Adam Pope, turncoat wedding goer, rather than doing his job yesterday.
Yeah, very controversial.
Yeah, we'll give him a bit of a rib about that. So welcome to the 5-star Sport Trustcast for all your child football and sport camp needs.
Yeah.
For further information, you can go to 5starsports.com or you can find them on Twitter and Facebook. So they're very good, and they've been sending us some photos of Future Trust members on their summer camps.
I did see a nice tweet the other day.
So definitely
Future Trust people on it.
Have a look, for definite. So rather than listening to me, Rob, John, and our studio audience consisting of one person.
Hi.
Hi, well done. little ripple for our one-person studio audience.
Technical assistant.
We best go to Simon, really, because he's why people will be listening, not listening to us, for definite.
Yeah.
So, Simon, when did it start for you, Leeds, and how?
About 7 at school. Like, my family are not really into football, so there was no pressure to support anyone really.
Right.
So I was just kicking footballs around, and then at some point someone at school was like, who do you support? I was like, don't know. And most people supported Leeds because it was in Leeds. So, and also I always think nowadays when kids make that choice, I think it's like, oh, Man U, Chelsea, Man City, or maybe your local team. But in our school it was like 11 boys and 10 supported Leeds and 1 supported Bradford. And that was it.
Poor lad.
Well, they were actually, I think in that particular moment, Bradford were doing better because it was in the old second division, like 1985, I guess, four maybe. And they were higher, but I still went for Leeds. I think I just preferred the kit, colour. So then that was it forever, really. And then I got taken to a game by my friend at school's dad. And I think I worked out, because again, I didn't go that much because of my family not being that into it, so I went sporadically.
Yeah.
But I sort of looked back when I got a bit older and was like, I thought it was Man U for years. I looked back and I'm like, well, they didn't play Man U, so who was it? And then I think it was Oldham.
Similar area.
We lost.
Similar area.
Similar result.
Obviously,
I always like listening to people's how did you end up supporting Leeds, because I'm sure if you've listened to previous Trustcasts, I'm from Barnsley. So I get the question all the time, why Leeds? And mine's my granddad from, I think he was from Morley, just gave me a shirt one day. So I started wearing it, started wearing it to school, getting ribbed off loads of Barnsley and scum fans, Manchester United. and I thought, it's all right, this, like being a bit different, so I'll keep it. And then, it's all just sort of blossomed from there, it gets under your skin a little bit, doesn't it? So Oldham first game then, we think, not Man U. Ellen Road, where did
Ellen
you
Road,
sit?
Yeah.
Stand, probably, stand, more likely.
Yeah, the West Stand, I think, in the like towards the back of the West, towards I don't know the cop.
Yeah,
and I went then, and then I didn't go again for another few years. And so I just went like when someone like something like so Peanut in our band, he went to every game. He had a season ticket in the family stand, but occasionally when people were missing or whatever, you'd be able to sneak a ticket off someone. That was it, really. and then didn't go. Started going properly when I was like a teenager, and I could go on my own. Went a few times with some friends, and then I didn't really start going regularly until I don't know. I always think it's funny. I didn't get a season ticket until we were in League One.
Really? That's good.
Good time to get a season ticket.
That was my first ever season ticket.
Glory Hunter, obviously.
Yeah. Missed all. I think because of music. Sounds bad. This is quite a bad story. But because of music, my love for Leeds or my interest like waned through my teenage years. So I was really into football. And then when I was about like, it all coincides with Leeds being good. When Leeds sort of were good, for whatever reason, I would be getting more, doing more music stuff and all that. And the whole sort of Champions League era, I took it for granted completely. Mm. I was just like, this is going to last forever. I'll just get another time. And yeah. I didn't have that much money because I was sort of a student. And I was in bands and stuff. And that's where I spent all my money really on like guitars or doing gigs or whatever. So it was like a thing that I couldn't really do. So I missed it all, yeah. And then as we started, the band started. It's funny. Yeah. And then the decline happened. And by the time I had enough money to get a season ticket and comfortably and like just go whenever I wanted, it was like,
we're rubbish.
We are terrible.
With that minus 15 in League One. Yeah. I quite like that season.
I remember a photo in the Leeds magazine with Lucas Radebe on the pitch. So that must have been when he was still at the club.
Well, that was at the training ground, actually. It was at Thorpe Arch. So we went up there. It was before the... So it said on the telly the day, which confused me. When Leeds got relegated, the game at Elland Road was Bolton. Or was the game away?
That's from
Bolton?
From the Premiership. That was Bolton away, yeah.
Yeah.
And so what was the home game after that?
That was Charlton. When Alan Smith got chaired off the pitch.
That is it, yeah. So we went just before the Charlton game to Thorpe Arch. Yeah. Met Lucas. It was a great day. Met Alan Smith. It was tremendous. And then, like, yeah, literally the next game, next minute, it was tears.
Yeah.
They played Oh My God at that. The original video, original release of Oh My God was got played at half time when everyone was not bothered because everyone was upset because Leeds were going down. And there's some good things happened that day. So I remember watching, they were doing like shots on the goal and like loads of them went into the fields behind. And they sent in this young kid to get all the balls, and he came back and his legs were bleeding, and it was Milner.
Wow, it's like, who's laughing?
Should we
now?
Look after him?
Yeah. Maybe not send that child. Send that one over there.
Yeah. And what else? And then I remember saying to Alan Smith, "Go. I know you're going, but go anywhere but Man U." And he said, "I can't promise that." Literally, it was not very long after that.
It wasn't long after, was it?
Well, you did your best, mate. Thank you.
He's moved a few times to try and distance himself from the move to Manchester United, especially lately. Did you just catch the article in the National Press where he mentioned quite a bit that he knew he were having to leave Leeds and basically they shoehorned him to them over at Pennines? I'm still not buying that shit.
Did he say Man United were the only ones who were going to pay up front?
That's right.
Up front, so he helped the club by getting the money up front. No one else would pay up front.
He waived some money, didn't he?
Subscription. Yeah, signing on fee. Yeah.
I don't know. I felt bad at the time, but I also think there's things, worse things have happened in the scheme of football, I think, than that. I think he was a bit of a, like, he got, I don't know. I suppose he could have just flat refused, I guess.
Yeah.
But
not many people are going to do that, are they, I suppose.
No.
Well, there are all sorts of rumours, weren't there, that came out afterwards. Some that reckon he and his agent had arranged it months before. Before we were even properly relegated. I don't know. I wouldn't like to think too bad of him, but I did hate him for quite a while.
The Kewell debacle, I hated Kewell more.
I think I did.
All of that nonsense.
He wins on the hatred scale.
I wasn't too keen on Boyer either, with Liverpool fiasco.
I don't know. Back to reality.
Let's not get
talking. So now you're a superstar musician of the highest order. How many Leeds players tap you up for tickets to your gigs or gigs in general?
There's got to be a few,
aren't there? Yeah.
The worst culprit is still Simon Grayson.
Is it?
He is a regular coming to Guy's Juice gigs, which is good. I like that. I always get some gossip and some interesting information out of him. So it's good, and he's helped me out as well. So it's good. Yeah. Who else? A few people come. I don't remember who the last person that came to a gig was.
Players aren't here long enough nowadays, are they?
No, and mostly Italian, quite a lot of them.
Yeah. Anyway. There's a sort of, I think the golden, like when we were talking about Blackwell, someone asked me a question about Blackwell, didn't they? And that was, because we went to the training ground a few times in that era, and there was a lot of good lads in that era, like Gary Kelly and Sean Derry, and who else was in that, like Prutz, and lots of people who were like good lads and into music and everything, so... That was good. A lot of them used to come to some shows. More recently, I'm trying to think of who's been at a show. Oh, Chris Wood came last year. He's nice and unassuming.
Very nice.
Me and John were allowed to call him Woody because we had a chat with him about his dog.
Yeah.
Well, when he introduced himself to me, he said Woodsy.
Ah, well, this is a debate.
An extra.
Yeah, this is a debate because I heard Calvin Phillips on the conclusion of yesterday's game, which was Bolton, which we won 3-2, and he mentioned, and I just pinged it into Woodsy, and I'm thinking, but it's not Woodsy, it's surely Woody. Woody, yeah. Anyway, he said we could call him
maybe the same
Chris,
with Zed, just to be Woodsy. Crazy.
Yeah, maybe wild. Yeah. But yeah, when we met him, he was a very, very likable character, to be honest. I came away and thought, I want to be friends with him, but I'm not so sure he thought the same from me. So, never mind. I have to go back to my old friends.
Living the hope.
Yeah.
You never know.
I expected there would be a little bit of tapping up, of trying to get tickets from our playing staff.
You're just wondering how to do it, aren't you?
Just wondering how I can work around being friends with Chris Woods and getting some Kaiser Chief tickets. Anyway, by the by.
Chris Woods.
Always a little bit when the new managers, many new managers come in. It's always an interesting thing of like, okay, but does he know who Kaiser Chiefs are?
Well, sadly, he went to a Celine Dion concert at Arena the other day. Mr. Christiansen, didn't he? Did you see that?
It's a bit of an issue.
He was in the VIP lounge up there on his Instagram bragging about his trip to Celine Dion.
I wonder who got in that ticket.
I do. But anyway, he went down massively in my estimations after that. But I still love him, and he ain't got a quiff like that bloke up road. Yeah, anyway, so back to your supporting Leeds. Predictions for the season. I know we've just had a lengthy discussion in the car park with our one studio audience guest about how we think it's going to go.
I think it's going to be good, actually. I mean, like, we were talking in the car park about the strength of, like, maybe not defence, but certainly midfield of, like, what we played. Phillips and O'Kane and so many other options, and they look good going forward. There's Dallas as well, Vieira, all sorts of players who didn't feature, who we know are good already. I wonder what, I forgot his name, the new striker is like, that is interesting.
Caleb Ukban.
Yeah.
From what I saw him at Oxford, he's built like a house.
Another option.
Yeah, he's huge. and to be honest, when he came on against Oxford, he was up and at him. He was on
it's
top.
Quite
of
rapid
him.
As well.
Yeah, quick lad. Should have scored against Oxford actually. Mm. Robbed it off their defender. I think he gave it to Rufy, who did about 15 step overs and then it just didn't come off. But we'll see, won't we?
I really like Chris Wood, but I think you've got to like not rely on him quite as much as last year.
Yeah,
And buy one or more central defenders, and then I think we will be in really good shape to get in the playoffs.
I saw someone posted like a predicted lineup for Port Vale this afternoon, and obviously the central defenders I think were Cooper and Ayling, but the rest of the team was completely different players who didn't play on Sunday.
Well, we can do
so
that.
It's quite encouraging, you know, to look at the strength in depth. But obviously, defence is an issue.
So. I think one of the challenges is managing, like, because it's a big squad, and it shows, I think, that they have taken into account that it's a long season and all that, and running out of steam at the end of last season. But managing like some of those players who are, you know, to not play or not even be in the 18, I think is a big challenge, I think.
Bridcut's the big one, isn't it? You think, well, he's not going to hang about.
Mm. Me and Simon were talking in the car park, and Phil A retweeted an article saying that Christiansen said that, long-winded this, that Bridcut's still in his plans.
Mm.
It's all well and good being in his plans, but is Bridcut happy sat on the periphery of a team at his age when he could possibly go to wherever he could go to, which I would imagine will be a bit further north, just up the A1, with a guy with bad quiff. That's just a pure prediction, by the way.
I think he could go, but I also thought that the goalkeeper from last year might end up in the similar spot, and he is still hanging around. So
True. For how long? I'm not sure. We talked about this, didn't we, on a previous podcast. I still think he'll leave. Green, to be honest. I think he's I think it's clear from pre-season and yesterday that he's not going to be the number one unless Fiedel starts lobbing him in his own net, which on yesterday's...
anything's possible.
Anything's possible. But I still think he could possibly leave. He's at that funny age, isn't he, where he could get that one last big pay packet if he goes and sits on bench in Premier League, or he could go and play at a higher Championship side. I mean, there's a few scrubbing about for goalkeepers at the minute. I know Newcastle are after a new one. They've just gone up. Not saying that they target Green. But I think Sunderland have just signed that kid Steele who played on Friday.
Yeah.
Borough, I'm not sure.
He's going to want to play though, isn't he? If he's only got a year left, really, realistically, he's going to want to play.
I don't know, actually. Yeah. I think, actually, if we'd gone up, he'd have happily sat on the Leeds United bench for a season as his last season. Maybe. I don't know. But I don't know if he wants to sit on the bench in the Championship. That's probably a bit... Probably thinks he's better than that.
So let's have a look at the team then. So from yesterday's evidence, it's going to be Wiedwald as goalkeeper unless something awry occurs. Look at it from one point of view. Rob Green was arguably player of the year last year. Obviously, Woodsy won it, but arguably player of the year. But he's not the future of Leeds United at 38, whereas Wiedwald's 27. Come in, we start blooding him. It's a new regime. It's a new era. It's a new... You know, is it the little bit of that playing in it? Is it the fact that Wiedwald looks very comfortable with his feet, looks quite happy to have it under pressure, which scares me a lot? But his distribution weren't too bad yesterday, apart from one he shanked into dugout, but we give him one, can't we? We didn't really get any sort of idea with shot stopping. He comes out and punches it, which is a bit of an upgrade from Sproul Vestry, who used to come and just flap at it. Yeah. So that's a bit of an upgrade, but I'd still like to see a big lad like him come and catch it. So that's my thoughts on the goalkeeper. Has anybody else got any thoughts?
Like I say, he didn't really do a lot, really, did he? So there was one shot from, I think it was Gary Madine in the first half, that just missed the post and went to the side netting, and he was
very casual
about that.
Yeah,
he just left it and looked quite cool about it. I think Madine caught
him on the hop, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't know how in control he was, he's not hitting it from there,
one of them. So left back, one left back up until this morning. Berardi has obviously dislocated his shoulder, suspected. So 4 weeks, I'd reckon, a minimum to let that settle down. So
two for Brady.
Yeah.
Hours. But so we brought this guy in from Denlow Road, up Pennine Place.
Cameron Borthwick Jackson.
Apparently he had an argument with Bailey Peacock Farrell about who's got the best middle second name. But so a natural fullback. I don't know a great deal about him except Louis van Gaal rated him. So, you know.
He played a few games for Manu, didn't he?
Eight, I think, I'll let you believe.
By all accounts, he had a shocking year at Wolves, but I think some of that might be now to the manager, I don't know.
Yeah, they're a bit of a crazy club, Wolves, aren't they?
Yeah.
They splashed a bit of money around, but you could imagine him imploding at any point. So, we've now got a left-back. We've got no cover for a left-back, apart from the Rolls-Royce, that is Vernon Anita, who came on yesterday and looked every bit the...
I thought he was excellent.
Premier League player. Really looked every bit.
I suppose Denton's got shipped off because he looked like... He's good enough to be cover when you haven't got any cover.
Unless they're planning on bringing another in. Who knows? That possibly could be an option.
Another left back.
Another left back. I again heard Joe Bryan getting mentioned from Bristol Bristol City. But who knows? Centre half then. So Pennington's got a bad ankle. We don't know how long. Waiting for results of a scan.
He's good, yeah.
Very good. I was quite impressed.
Very small head, I noticed. He's got quite a small round head.
Yeah.
I like my centre half to have quite a big head.
Like a robust bond.
Just me, you know. Not criticism, you know, just an observation.
I liked the bit, we were talking again in the car park, I liked the bit that he was very Kyle Bartley-esque, and when he got the ball in the space to move into, he did it to try and set off play rather than a 40-yard diag towards a winger. So I like that about him, and he looked very calm under pressure, so calm that he nearly gave their player the ball, or it Cooper who nearly gave their player the ball, and he managed to get him. It was Pennington. Bailed out by Cooper early on in the game. But ultimately, he could be out for a while. Sadly, hopefully not. Pontus to come back. Is it Preston his first game?
Yeah, he's missing on Wednesday.
So
Cooper looked good there, I thought. I mean, like, I think everyone's dismissed him, but I think he actually looked good, and he had a couple of good games last season, and you just wonder whether it's management decisions last year that, you know, I don't know.
You might be right, because obviously O'Kane fits in that bracket as well. I mean, I can't honestly turn around and when he played last year and say, it was woeful. He's missed a consistent along with Luke Cayley, and he gives us something different. And then he didn't play, obviously, towards the end of the season because Monk chose not to pick him. So maybe maybe Cooper fitted in that bracket as well.
Yeah. But saying that, I think Cooper is one of them where his consistency is the only issue, really. Because when he does come in, he seems to do all right.
Mm.
But then he'll...
Yeah, we can't dispute it. He's had some real mares, hasn't he, as well? Though.
Yeah,
you know, exactly, let's be honest.
Yeah.
That's what's getting out to.
Still only a young lad. Is he only 25?
Possibly 26, 27.
Purely a yardstick in it. I'm sure he's about 23 when we signed him from Chelsea. He's been with us a couple of years now. So.
But I don't think he's going to vastly improve, you know. I think he's always going to be steady.
If he keeps his head on game, though, you know what I mean? We made captain yesterday, so that's a... credit to him
so
as
the,
well.
Yeah. The players made him captain. Is that what's happened? Right?
Yeah, I'm not so sure. Yeah,
is that because Pontus is captain but he ain't playing?
I think that. Yeah, that's my cue. I mean, Sky made a big deal about the fact that, and the players picked Liam Cooper. Now thinking, I'm not sure they did. If they have, fair enough. That's their choice. But for me, once Pontus is fit and Pennington's fit, is Cooper going to play? I can't honestly see it. No. So why would they make him club captain?
It's just like Bartley was captain when Pidcock was injured, last season. Exactly. So you always need someone else.
Now, my
just
point with
being the first game.
My point with Pontus being captain. I love Pontus, but I do think he's got ever slight tendencies just to implode every now and again. And you know, if you're coming out thinking the captain's a lunatic, I don't know. It's a bit of a.
He doesn't exactly lead by example, does he? I don't think.
He's a different type of captain, isn't he? I can't see him being megaly vocal, but he's one of them who will smash the centre half. 2 minutes into the game, you think, I'll have a bit of that. But
he'll certainly get them up for it. But whether he's the calm head that you need at times.
Yeah, that's,
well, he's
that's
not
what
the calm head that you need at times.
No, he's not.
You know, Bartley sort of brought him along. Mm. That was the beauty of Carl Bartley last season, that he was the perfect foil for Janssen.
Mm.
And then sort of kept him under control to a certain extent.
So I think the centre half position will be interesting going forward, because we've got the young lad Shaughnessy who wanted to swap shirts with Medine before end. But I thought he did okay actually after that. Recovered himself quite well. Ealing can play there, but I'd prefer to see him out in his natural position. So for me, we need some cover.
Yeah,
absolutely, we do.
Yeah, did anyway, didn't we?
We did. It's been the same all summer, isn't it? I wonder if there's just not enough options, because every other position they've gone and found somebody, or more that like central midfield, 100 people, but centre back.
Yeah, I think it's same be said for a lot of clubs, because Sheffield Wednesday are scratching around looking for a centre half as well. They nearly got Johan Giroud, next Arsenal centre half, but apparently his wages are too high. But they're scratching around for a centre half as well. So there's a bit of a lack of centre halves. But we've just signed one from Juventus and lent him to Leeds United B in Spain. Cultural mayonnaise or whatever they call it.
Yeah, that was a strange one, I must admit.
So maybe, I don't know if they can recall him, but is he fit to play in the Championship? You know, all these things. But we were talking about outside, there's no names jump out. I mean, I'm not overly enamoured by the Aidan Flint link, if I'm honest. No. He's a big lump who scores goals, but we don't want him to score goals as centre-half. We want him to stop other teams scoring goals, so I'm not so sure. As I said, outside, I wouldn't mind a Mark Roberts from Barnsley before Birmingham snuffed in there and got him. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Like Simon said at car park, you might get 5-10 games in, someone who's not playing, then might want to move on. Like Kyle Bartley at Swansea, it'd be a good signing.
Yeah.
Bring back Kyle.
It's never too late, is it?
No, it's never too late. We'll see. We'll see with that one. So, right back can only be Luke Ealing. I think yesterday again, summed it up. What a great signing that has been, to be honest. Completely.
I think Anita will play the odd game there if Lane has to cover or is injured or whatever.
But yeah, and, you know, again, is there any way Anita can't play? Central midfielder,
fullback.
Yeah, probably. We can try him. Might be all right with his feet in goal, but so that's sort of the defence. We are still a bit thin on the ground, that we probably needed just a bit of reinforcements. But again, how do you sort of go out to somebody and say, come and play for us, but these are my first two? Do you know what I mean? How do you go and approach a club and say, can we take this young starlet on loan, but chances are, let's be sat on bench? You know, it's a tough one, isn't it? So. Mr. Otter is going to have to get his file of facts of.
It's not an unusual situation, though, is it? You know, I mean,
no, definitely not.
History is littered with these kind of scenarios, you know. So.
Of course it is. Yeah.
It's just a shame that the academy went to rack and ruin almost, didn't it, under the previous regime? Because otherwise, we'd have had good ones lined up.
I think I've got the answer. What about McKay? Is he still here?
Willie's lad.
Yeah. Willie's lad, he played centre half, didn't he? Sutton, do a job. Moving on then, so we've got 50,000 midfielders, that's good. So we're all right there, we've got lots of them. Again, discussion point. I personally think, moving forward, despite Phillips scoring two goals yesterday and having a good game, I ultimately think the midfield pair will be okay and click moving forward, from what I saw at Oxford. And I know that was a 20-minute cameo, but I get the feeling that he's Calvin Phillips in 5 years, let's put it that way. Mm. I just think now he's a bit more suited than Calvin is. Yeah. Calvin's only a young lad, had a great game yesterday, but he'll have his peaks and troughs because the fact he's a young lad.
The beauty is we've got players to manage the situation now. I mean, I'm a massive Vieira fan as well, not just because I've met him.
Yeah, Ronnie, it smells lovely.
Hands.
Yeah.
But he, I mean, he's managing, so he's not going to play every game now. And I think we maybe over relied on him last season. So
yeah.
And Phillips is in the same category, really, where you don't want to overwork him. So but yeah, I've got nice options now. So
yeah, but like again, me, Simon, and Ben were talking in car park.
I wish I'd been there.
Honestly, we should have
done the podcast from the car park.
Yeah, we should have just into my phone or something. But yeah, we're saying, you know, we've got now the option where we can change it. And I know Christensen's mentioned quite a few times that he's got more than one plan. He can change it. He can change the way that we play. And you can, that's a bit evident with the central midfielders, you know, for seeing out games or making us hard to beat and stuff like that. You've now got people like Bridcut, if he stays, Ronnie Vieira, people like who suddenly can come in and give us something different in midfield, as well as your legs of O'Kane and Phillips and Click and Rita Sue, Bob too, all the other midfielders that we've got. The young lad Sean, see, and obviously Christensen must like him, he's kept him around the first team.
Is he a midfielder then?
Yeah, central midfielder.
Midfielder.
Yeah, from Reading, I believe we got him from. Yeah, played a few games for Reading in central midfield, but you know, he's keeping him around there for a reason. Anita can play there. We obviously could probably re-sign Scott Wharton and play him there if we want. He got sent off at weekend, by the way. Yeah, shocker. out in wide positions, we've got two for each now. We've got Roof Alioski, who I thought had a decent game for his first game in English football. Went down a little bit too easy early on in game, but you're going to get that. I think he'll settle. Was in the right places at the right times for me. Johnny on the
great
spot.
Great leap for the old...
Good leap to head back to Chris. Did he head it back to Chris Wood, or was it just an head in the general direction? either way, it worked. Dallas, who couldn't get in 18, and has been good in pre-season. And then Adi, Red Bull-sponsored Sacco, who just looks like he's had 16 Red Bulls before he comes on pitch.
Yeah.
But again, kind of endearing character. I feel that if it gets time to settle down, we might see a little bit better from him.
Yeah, let's just not remember yesterday because it was just shocking.
Yeah,
you want your players, your subs to come on and hit the ground running. Yeah. But I think he hit the ground falling, didn't he?
I mean, the idea of bringing him on was an obvious one. It was to stretch the game, weren't it? To sort of get us a bit higher up the pitch with his speed, but. Instead, we just gave them lots of throw-ins.
You can do
side.
That. It's whether you actually want an end product from him. You know, you can. If you're giving the ball, he'll run with it.
Mm.
But what he's going to do with it is open to question.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously middle, Pablo. I thought had an excellent game yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Partly because I think he was higher up the pitch. I know we discussed it on a previous podcast that last season. Getting dragged far too deep. You've got him on our edge of the centre circle.
He's
trying
the ball
to spray balls. Yeah.
Whereas
yesterday, he was always in them channels between their defence and their midfield because they were playing five in midfield and then three at back. And he was getting in there. And Chris Wood was causing havoc with them little runs into channels, dragging the centre half away. And then Pablo were filling the spot where he was obviously leaving. So it was nice just to see him a little bit further up the pitch and being a little bit more creative. However, I'm a bit disappointed I didn't see a Meg. He didn't Meg anyone,
did
as far as I'm aware, no.
Oh, well.
Anybody see a
hit
Meg?
Hit the bar.
Hit the bar. Great effort as well, by the way, to hit the bar from there. And then his understudy, if you like, is this kid Simon Says. Put your hands on your head. came on against Oxford. I saw someone quote him, actually, a friend of John's. He looks like the Spanish Barry Bannon, which made me chuckle, actually, because he got it deep and he was spraying boards, balls all over the place. Like, he was just making it pitch wide, and I thought, actually, it looks like a player. So we'll see what's to come from him when he comes in. And then, obviously, Chris Wood up front. And then this kid, Ukban, because I don't think Antonsen's going to be here. Never mind, anyway, in the team. Looks like Dakara, the prepping for his exit via the door as well, so... Mm.
So got that goal, though. Still got that goal.
Still got that goal.
Yeah, that goal.
So yeah,
bad legacy, I suppose.
Yeah, I still think we're not in bad shape, like you rightly said. I think, you know, quietly happy, optimistic.
I did feel like yesterday, if we are talking about yesterday.
We're just summing up stuff.
It looked like someone else other than Chris Wood would score, which is an obvious thing to say when, you know, someone else other than Chris Wood did score. But you know, Hernandez hit the bar, Alioski had a couple of shots. You know, the chances from different parts of the pitch. So it wasn't, we weren't predictable at all, which we were a bit last season.
12 shots and 5 on target, or yeah, which is yeah, massive improvement on last year, really.
Yeah, it's good. I just think, I just think the same thing, which is just, we've got two people for everywhere, haven't we? Apart from, if we'd have had, when people got injured, we'd had anybody, we didn't have either position covered at all, right, did we? I mean, I know Hita came and did a good job, didn't he? But he isn't a left back.
No.
Just felt like if we'd, like, if it was last season, or actually, if it was Bartley and Janssen and one had got injured and Pennington had come on, then you'd be like, well, there's no difference, but it's just those two positions.
Yeah.
It's funny, they're the only two positions we don't have any cover for. Both got injured.
It is a worry. We all know this, don't we?
So yeah, and I'm pretty sure the way that the club's gone this summer, I think we're a lot different club from previous years. I think the club will be well aware of this and they'll be looking to address
it. They were anyway, weren't we? We know that, you know, they're just not rushing into it, I suppose. But yeah, the situation has escalated.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's no choice but to be escalated. Going on to Bolton then, because we've obviously started on that one. I think one thing that was blatantly obvious to me is how wide we made the playing surface. As in, you've got Roof really wide, Alioski really wide, and we created that space to allow our better players, like, and not our better players, because they're all equally as good as each other, but to allow people like Hernandez and O'Kane to drive into the space that we're getting created by dragging them so wide. But I think another interesting thing, and again, we talked about in car park commentary earlier, I was impressed with the fact that Christensen's been in the UK for however long he's been in charge, which is not very long. Same can be said for much of his coaching staff. But I think we did a job on Bolton yesterday. Their strengths are the big, horrible physical side that you put balls in box and led them away for fun, stuff like that. So we just didn't do that. We just mitigated that. How many times did we see us put a corner directly into the box? Of the ones that we had, I think two went straight in. And they were like repeat corners where we'd put it in, it'd been cleared. And we went again, and Phillips' goal showed that from the get-go. He said after the game he'd done that in training loads of times and none of them had gone anywhere near the goal, so at least he saved it up for the game. But I think a lot of credit's got to be given to whoever, you know, helped set the team up and stuff like that. And obviously looked at Bolton, looked at the way that they played and played to our advantage and not theirs. And that impressed me.
They never played it through us once, did they? They didn't get around us. No. They didn't really pepper the goal at all.
No.
I think Wiedwald made a mistake with the goal, the first goal.
Yeah, he's
wasn't really decisive enough, but that's the only way they were going to score.
I think Vival's come to get it, and Roof's let Medin move away from him, and then when you've got that big lump at back post with a bit of movement behind him and it's coming near him, he's always going to put it in there, isn't he? But should Vival come a bit more confidently and get rid of it? Possibly, but let's be honest, first game in England, you know, I might be a bit nervous, as we all would be. But overall, I was quite impressed, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, again, we talked about it outside. I think no injuries, we could have probably seen ourselves score a few more goals, to be honest.
Yeah, it definitely disrupted the side, I thought, and we were a bit cautious after that, weren't we?
Mm.
But if they Berardi went off in the first half, didn't they? And Pennington going off, I think, made us a bit nervous, and we just sort of went into our shell a little bit, but still looked dangerous. But Bolton were always going to put a bit of pressure on. And they did.
So. Yeah. What were your thoughts, Simon? Much similar? Or?
Yeah, just the same, yeah. I just thought it was good. I thought we were absolutely cruising. At half-time, we were at 3-1. I just thought it was going to be like 4-1, maybe 5-1 or something and be easy. And then, yeah, Pennington going off just... And then the immediate penalty, do you know what I mean? It just sort of... Just was the worst look. But unlike other seasons, there was no crumbling. Just got on with the job and won, really. But I don't think... It'll be the most difficult game of the season, Bolton away. I think everyone thinks if we're gonna do anything this season, then you've got to beat Bolton away.
Mm. Probably you look beat at that Preston at home. That's and perfect opening game, to be honest.
Definitely. Credit to Sean as he came on, gave that penalty away, getting peppered by some big lads, and he didn't crumble afterwards. I thought he played quite well for a player who's playing out of position, debut again. Some Medin's a horrible big lump of a player, and he was just going to bully and. I thought he marshalled him quite well along with Cooper.
Lafondra's a bit of a wily fox, isn't he?
Yeah, he is what he is, isn't he? He's been like that since he was Rotherham days and wherever else he's been. He's your Johnny on the spot type character, isn't he? Adam Armstrong coming on. I'd have liked to have seen us. I'd look at Adam Armstrong as a as a striker to bring off the bench beforehand, but obviously he's gone to Bolton, so fair play to them. Moving forward then, Port Vale on Wednesday. Mm. Anybody going?
Yes.
Yep, I'm going. Sat in East Stand with my boy. So looking forward to that. We went to Oxford the other day. It was a bit of a strange atmosphere, I'll be honest. There was no atmosphere.
Yeah,
it was a bit weird seeing the West and the South Stand completely empty. Because even when I've been before, when we played Nuremberg in pre-season, they opened the entire ground up. So it had a bit of atmosphere about it, whereas it just seemed a little bit...
Cup games can be a bit like that as well, the early ones. Mm. It needs the players to get things going. But
I think it is a shame it's the first game on road is a cup game. So I think it will be not that well attended.
A bit of an anti-climax, isn't it?
Mm. It's a bit of a shame. I think Preston will be a good sold game, out, isn't it? Good atmosphere.
Sold out. Yeah. And Michael Brown comes back to Allen Road. Did a job on Harry Kewell at weekend, didn't he?
He did, apparently.
Yeah, they beat Crawley. So, yeah, good effort.
Has he got Danny Pugh on the staff as well?
Michael Tongue's in the team. Scored on the weekend.
Yeah, Tongue as well.
Nailed on Tongue's scoring.
Pugh's there, like I said.
Pugh and
Eddie Days. Yeah, Tongue.
Another one. Paddy McKenney's just signed for Maltby Main. None of you lot know Maltby May now. They're a non-league side, not too far from me.
Sounds like a distillery.
Yeah, he has just signed for.
Did Warnock get any money for that?
Cannot possibly
sure
comment.
Somewhere down the line.
Apparently had a trial at Cardiff, but it didn't work out. No, he's gone to Maltby May, so yeah, good luck. Got Maltby May, lovely place. so anyway, Simon, you'll be going to a lot of games this year because you're a season ticket holder. How does that fit in with Superstardom and music?
Not that well, to be honest. I've been living, I'm actually moving back to Leeds actually soon, which I'm looking forward to, but I've been living in London for a few years as well, so all in all, I don't get to use it as much as I'd like, but I go whenever I can. So we'll finish summer festivals on early in September. We've got like Saturdays and Sundays are mostly got gigs on, so, but after that, I'll hopefully get some, or maybe I might get that Fulham on Tuesday, isn't there? So I think maybe I might be able to get to that. And like, last couple of seasons with the Hope, this season and last year, a bit more. I was going to go backwards now. I used to go all the time and make it my sort of mission to get here whenever I possibly could. And then I think Warnock was the culprit, really. It was that thing where it was like...
Warnock broke a lot of us.
Yeah, to be fair.
It was like February and he just gave up on the league. And I'm a bit like, okay, well, if you can't be bothered, then I can't be bothered with a 450-mile round trip either. So I stopped going a little bit, you know, coming still, but not going quite as much as often as I did, and then I go to more away games because obviously I think it's like can be more fun and go to different grounds and all that. So I'm still going to Leeds quite a lot. Still going to maybe 20 or 25 games a season, but going to like 15 away games and enjoying that. But yeah, last year, as I say, and then this year to come, the feeling is a lot more like the players and the staff and the owner and everyone are all putting as much effort in as the fans are, so I'm on board fully.
Yeah, definitely. Do any of the guys from the band get up and watch the games? Or?
Who's got a season? So me and Whitey go the most. Ricky probably goes to one a season.
Yeah, he's a bit busy, Ricky, isn't he?
Let's say he's busy, yeah. Who else? Peanut comes occasionally. I actually go with Peanut's dad, which is funny. So Peanut comes sometimes, but I go with his dad.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Very good. Been anywhere nice gigging recently?
Where have we been? It was in Switzerland, and then Bedford on Saturday.
Similar.
It was all right. Actually, it was a really, really good gig. And as I said, in the car park forum.
Should have recorded it.
I think the 8-2 victory by Luton really lifted some spirits on the day. So that was good. And then Spain on Saturday, unfortunately. I prefer to be in Leeds, actually. I think what's his name, Ralph Ianson, I can never say his surname, tweeted, didn't he, that he's in like Barbados or somewhere.
Yeah.
He said he preferred to be in Bolton and he's a bit worried. But Spain, then Scotland, and then hopefully that's then maybe get to Leeds for that Fulham game.
Sweet. Very good. I'm not going to Spain or Scotland. I'm a bit disappointed. Yeah. Good. Right then. So, moving slightly on. So, season ticket holder, so we've discussed that. We'll not give away your seat because we don't want you getting harassed.
I think most people know where you sit. Anyway, I've sat there for quite a long time now.
So all right. We'll still not give it
West
away.
Stand.
Oh, West Stand massive. I like to try and get in there, but it's a bit expensive.
Yeah.
For me and my boy, because I can only obviously go to the odd game due to work commitments. Yes, I know I'm moaning about it again. But yeah, I like to get in there. I like that captain's corner bit. That's where
I am,
I like it in there because you can get restricted view. And it's not that restricted. It's quite cheaper.
I wear wooden seats, so if you can cope with that.
But loads of leg room. I was sat in East Stand on Oxford game, and I, honestly, I was like, my knees were hanging over the seat in front of me. And I thought, this cannot be right.
I think that my seat has got the most, our row has got the most leg room in the entire ground.
Right.
And most like grounds I go to, I went to, where did I go to? Reading away, and I was in a posh seat. I had a really massive, comfy seat, but I couldn't sit in it because there's nowhere to put your feet.
It's a bit of a design fault.
Yeah, it's a bit of a letdown. But yeah, the East Stand seats are terrible for leg room, I'll be honest. However, I was sat within talking distance of our owner and all the rest of the...
Against Oxford,
directly behind me. And I thought I spotted Martin Darlene, Pontus Janssen's agent, and also Philip Helenda's agent after a bit of a consultation to Google pictures. It weren't him. Just knew it looked a bit like him. So I quickly deleted the tweet that I pinged out saying I'm sure I've just seen Pontus Janssen's agent. But yeah, they were sat directly behind me because they've moved the corporate boxes now, aren't they?
Yeah.
They were sat in there. I think that might be a future thing as well. And Mr. Kinnear were in there as well. Who, moving on, sashaying on, we're going to meet on Wednesday.
Yes.
For a bit of a catch-up and a bit of a chat. So if there's anything interesting to come out of that, we'll get a newsletter out. And
yep. We're hoping to ask a few questions about ticketing and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Recent things.
We've jumped ahead a bit on a schedule, so we'll go back slightly. So for those who heard me and John moaning about it before, not moaning because it was a bad thing, but our calves hurt quite a lot. Simon came up Snowdon as well. He's done quite a lot less moaning than we did, particularly me, because my calves were really sore.
You were up there, though, fast.
Sure, yeah.
You two. I was not even halfway up, I don't think, when I saw John coming down.
Yeah.
We did blaze a bit of a trail, didn't we?
I impressed myself, actually, must admit, because I'm not a fit man. Yeah. Anyone who knows me will verify that. But I did do a little bit of training, which I thought might be a good idea, you know, which worked. But coming down, I was in a tangle, really, really bad tangle.
Down was worse, I think.
Down was a lot worse.
Yeah. I liked the thing that we were going up and sort of thought we were quite far up, really. And then you were like, you were basically like, the worst bit's to come.
Well, the bit where I saw you, that was the worst bit just after that.
Yeah, because we'd stopped for photos there on our way up, haven't we?
Yeah.
If you remember, over that, looking over that big valley. And then we set off up and I'm thinking, this is a bit harder going up here. But in all fairness, the blistering pace was set by Bryn Law, who set off at a right old lick. I had to go and talk him to death to slow him down.
He's a bit of a pro, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a bit of a mountaineer expert. So, yeah.
True.
So John's, John, Martin's peaked at 10,000, I believe.
Yeah, he's doing really well. He's got some more fundraising, I think, hasn't he? Was it last weekend?
He does an annual thing at a pub near him. In Aylesbury.
Anyone that wants to go is welcome to go walk a mile with him, I think, and raise some more.
That's at the end of August, cash. I think, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. It pushed a cryptic tweet out as well about something for next year, didn't it? The club spoke to him about
something. I know what that is, but I can't say.
Don't drop an exclusive on here. I'll have to edit it out and I ain't got time. I'm busy with work. again, a fantastic day. And, we didn't really get a chance to talk to you because we were in separate groups.
No, I was looking forward to a big Leeds United chat and there wasn't much of that, really.
Yeah, there was a lot of Leeds chat until we started getting tired, weren't there? Then it went down the panel
a
little bit.
Not a lot of chat at all.
We moved on to talking about pork pies and when we were going to eat them, mainly.
So you say the descent is harder on you than going up. So what was it? How did it hit you? Was it your knees?
My knees.
Because you're just walking on rubble and stone and it's everything... You don't put a single foot down knowing what you're going to stand on because everything is just like rubble and and it's just really difficult and plus you're just more tired, aren't you?
Yeah, a bit frightening as well.
I think that's a bit where I got sunburnt as well coming down because the sun came whistling out, didn't it, on his way down. And somehow managed to overtake John, but don't know at what point we overtook him or out.
There were some kids there. I can't remember kids who were in there. Who were running back, we'd been up and down, and then running back up and ran past us to meet some other people.
The bit that surprised me when I got halfway down and I passed very clearly a lovey dovey couple on the way up, both in flip flops. And I thought, you're going to struggle as you get a bit further up here, especially if that flip flop snaps, you're in a world of pain.
There's a couple of women who had like shopping bags.
Yeah.
It's like a Les Dawson sketch, you know, it's like walking up all these shopping bags.
Maybe they were going to replenish the pub at the top or the cafe.
It was quite near the start, actually, so I don't think it got far.
The start was the worst bit. That blooming tarmac path set the tone with your calves. Anyway, sorry, I'm back to moaning again. Anyway, we'll flick away.
Yeah, he had a five grand limit, didn't he, that he wanted to reach. We got that the night before, actually. And he's doubled that now, so he's got 200% of his target, which is great.
Fantastic, yeah. So hopefully, because obviously we support Martin quite a lot of the trust, we'll be able to give you an exclusive when he announces what he's doing for the club next year, or with the club, if you like. Moving on then. So every time we have a guest on now, Simon, it's a new thing. We have fan questions.
Mm-hmm.
I spend quite a bit of time filtering them out because there's quite a few that cannot be broadcastable. But the ones that we managed to filter out, okay. Vital 2006. Simon said he thought Blackwell was a good manager. Does he still stand by it? And how good were the aftermath? And that's from Harold Greb. I'm not sure that's his real name.
Michael Cronin's band. I think I like, especially in 2006, I liked Blackwell because he invited us to the training ground quite a bit and gave us quite a few, you know, behind the scenes experiences. So it was good. I think he was, I don't know, given all the rest of the managers, I mean, he's the one that got us the furthest towards getting promoted again.
Technically the most successful of the last 15 years.
It's not the most brilliant side of all time, I don't think. No. So I think it was okay, and much better than my probably least favourite is probably Wisey.
Mm.
But not for any footballing reasons. Or not for any management reasons, just because it's Wisey. I think he was, in the grand scheme, he's not the worst.
Mm. No. I was quite disappointed with that era. I was on a government-paid holiday. So I missed quite a lot of that era, the Blackwell era, which was a little bit disappointing. Mm. I went in prison, by the way, just to play that out.
I also missed, I can't remember why, because I was playing or something. I missed that final that I think put most people off.
Forever.
The Watford game. Yeah, I missed that completely.
It
was horrendous. Yeah.
I were living, you play it with that Cardiff, that one. Yeah. I were living in a place called Warminster, which is sort of Bath way on. Similar. It is actually filmed a lot around that area, but encountered lots and lots of Watford fans on my way back down to Warminster after spending the weekend at home, and obviously got a lead show because I've been watching it in pub, and then I'm just on my way with just a constant flow of amber Watford fans, which was absolutely soul destroying. But maybe I dropped on missing that period, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, West Stand Wireless. I'm not even going to try and pronounce what it's at. I'm not going to do it. Favourite biscuit for Duncan. Lovely picture of Lionel Rich tea underneath. Made me chuckle a bit.
Previously, I think a chocolate digestive is that's maybe a bit exotic. Mm. But it's the biscuit, I think.
That's the biscuit, yeah. Chocolate obnob, I think. Peter Kay claims it's the SAS of the biscuit world, so I'll go with that.
I like a shortbread myself, personally. A bit maverick, you know.
Now, when I was on my government-paid holiday, and my mum sent me droves and droves and droves of shortbread out, and I cannot even look at the stuff anymore. It absolutely just turns my stomach to look at it.
I actually think for Dunkin', I've changed my mind. Just a classic ginger nut is the best for Dunkin'.
It's nice and milk, actually. It soaks the milk up a lot.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Biscuit Podcast. Brilliant.
Should have had a list of biscuit puns.
Yeah, I should have sent you that earlier, shouldn't I?
I will do some homework.
And we've got one other question, but Rob's going to share this question because I didn't catch it.
I can't remember either. It's from Navy Steve, wasn't it? Or whatever it's called.
Steve Cappy.
Simon, have you and the rest of the band ever considered updating and doing your own versions of famous Leeds United anthems of the past?
No.
No, I think whenever anyone does anything like that, it's always not as good.
Yeah.
So I always avoided it. I always love a chant at the a gig. Always like that. I don't know, anything from...
Maybe you should just cover Ronnie Hilton's classics or something like that. Mm. That's a blast from the past, isn't it?
I have no idea who you're talking about. I don't know
that Ronnie Hilton.
He used to sing the lead songs.
Oh, did he?
I'll get off.
Taxi. No.
So it's just a little bit worse, I think. So I just leave it to them. But I think I believe, obviously he's coming home, didn't he, for the announcement of the ground buying, and I believe there's going to be some Kaiser Chiefs songs playing in and around Arden Road this year. So that is good.
Nice. Superb.
I like, yeah, super. Obviously, Josh uses it, don't he? And it's,
yeah, it's, I love, yeah, that with Josh, actually. It's, yeah, good. It's really good.
So, yes. So, prefer them to use ours because there's more money for us, yeah, then.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. So that's sort of it for fan question, unless our one guest studio audience has got any.
The pressure.
No, he's not got any. Just bless him, he's a bit lonely. So no, he's not got any. So we'll give Simon the rest 2 minutes while we touch on a bit of trust news. We have a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we'll start with, before we move on to Mural, with John, we've had a national, we've been mentioning a national newspaper, the Daily Mail, did a little, Ian Herbert, I believe his name,
yeah,
is.
That's right.
He listens to the Trustcast.
Oh, good.
Which
I found mention
quite
that,
interesting.
Someone picked him up on calling Christiansen Spanish.
Ah, well, this
line.
Is a...
But it was a... yeah.
Was, well, it Christian, was that a different one?
Well, Christian played, no, for Spain because he's got a Spanish mother. So that could be, you know...
Yeah, there were people...
Could be an easy mistake.
Queuing up to have a little dig and then somebody says, oh, well, actually...
Mm.
So,
we'll, so yeah, that's why he qualified for Spain.
It was good.
He played for Spain. Yeah.
Horrible photo,
yeah,
of... Smudger.
Yeah, I saw that crying, yeah, into Paul Robinson's armpit. Anyway.
That was bottled on the way, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, so, yeah, if you get a chance, yeah, well, so if you get a chance to look at that in the Daily Mail this Sunday just gone, our chairman, Dave Carrington, can't be with us today.
Saturday.
Got some quotes in there, quite good quotes, actually. And it was quite a good article, actually. Yeah. I read it in bed just before I got up for work, which is always a nice way,
yeah,
to start the day.
Yeah, I put
it
on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, gone down well.
Yeah, good.
Which meant to change for me.
I was just about to say that, but I managed to stop myself. and then I had a trip to see Catherine Hannah at Radio Leeds on Friday, which was really nice. So, yeah, thank you to Catherine and Popey for listening, for the invite on, which was very nice. We had a bit of a chat. Go on.
I was just going to say, Popey didn't go to the game yesterday.
No, Popey was otherwise engaged with a family wedding. He did tell us about this when he came on the...
Who gets married on a Sunday?
When he came on the Popecast, he said he couldn't make it because he'd got a wedding. So anyway... So thank you very much to Beauty Radio Leeds for inviting us on. They're very good with the trust, in fairness, and they like to have us on, so thank you very much for that. And lovely to meet Catherine for the first time. She's very nice, so I really enjoyed that, and I got some decent feedback as well. I didn't get no comments about saying so or and I didn't swear on air, so that's great. Even Ben will give me a bit of a rib
box
there. Yeah, yeah, I did set a challenge to a few people to count how many times I said so or and my first sentence was so, and I thought, for God's sake. But anyway, I'm not even going to try and change it now. I'm going to rebel it and not change it at all. In other more pressing trust news then, finally, we've announced the winner of the mural. So over to John Howe, who's had quite a lot of dealings with this.
Well, that's it, really. I mean, it's the design which I thought would win of the four iconic midfielders from 91-92, which I think is nice to have like a permanent record of that team, because there isn't anything else really. We've got the Bevy and Bremner statues, which is great, and there's lots around the ground about that team, as there should be, but there's nothing permanent about Wilco's team really, so I'm quite pleased with that, but I mean, you're never going to get one design that pleases everybody, so I'm sure some people would think there should be something maybe a bit more current or future looking or not, but it's difficult to do that really in one mural, so and we're basically at the mercy of what designs came forward as well, so we couldn't really control it too much, but I've met the guy who did the design, and he's working with us now to sort of tweak it a little bit to make sure the kits are right and the player images are a bit more realistic and what have you, so we're working on that now. We were going to try and do it for the first game of the season on Saturday, but we felt it was a bit rushed, so we're just taking our time a little bit to get it absolutely right, and should be, I think, September the 9th for the Burton home game. We're aiming to get it finished for then. So
yeah, superb. And that ties in with, obviously, the club have announced that they're going to spruce up the ground a little bit.
Yeah,
I certainly saw some stuff at Oxford. The West Stand entrance has been very much brought up to date. Saw some Instagram stuff from the players. They've brought the... They brought the changing room more into these individual booth things that you see in big stadia and stuff like that, and they've got these nice moody shots of all the players as they're going back out.
Anti-slip paint on the steps.
Oh wow, anti-slip paint on the steps as well. I'm not seeing that. Thank you from our health and safety representative. so yeah, I think it's going in the right direction. A few
nice little things in it. I mean, it's just people being bothered about the environment for fans. We've had years of, well, like Selland Road, it is what it is, like at Olympic, and they're just spending a bit of money tying it up, and it's nice.
Yeah. This might be slightly controversial, but one thing I'd like to see, the Don statue moved down a bit further to where they've just got rid of that porter cabin.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it go there.
Yeah, possibly.
One on one corner, one on the other. Because I think he's a little bit out of the way over there.
He's out of the way, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody tweeted me, actually.
It's a bit of an afterthought where he's gone now. One interesting comment I heard from a guy that Rob knows very well, Dave Cocker, who is the son of Les Cocker, of his right hand man. He made the comment that the statue should go at the top of the steps that go onto Fullerton Park, which is the steps where they all used to run up twice or three, four times a day to do the training. And every player who went through the club went up them steps. Now, unfortunately, it's just like that's the way fans car park now, so it's not probably the best spot.
I think with the security measures as well, they're going to block it off to home fans, aren't they? That sort of corner.
Yeah, so it's probably not the probably best, but I can see where he's coming from.
It was a great idea, but now I think, that's a good point.
I would like to see it go where that porter cabin was. It's just a nice big open space, you know, where people can congregate before the ground opens. So maybe that's some of that.
Seems funny because there's so few things around the ground compared to maybe other stadiums.
Yeah.
And yet, it's miles away.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah. See lots of people in photos with Billy, but very few having him with Don, and I think Don.
Yeah.
With the Mr. Revy statue.
Because in the background, it just goes into nothingness. Yeah. Just that car park, you know, and it's not an iconic shot, whereas the Billy one is.
That was sort of fan-funded, though, wasn't it, the Don Revy one?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
What were you called that, Rob?
Yeah.
What was it called, Rob, the group who?
Don Revy, for one thing.
Yeah.
Fundraiser. That's it, statue. No, I can't think.
I got something said about that, something about 1972 group or something like that.
That was part of it. Yeah, there's a few things.
I bought a badge, but excuse my ignorance, I weren't really up on what was happening with that.
No, it's quite a while ago. I think, to be fair, as well, to the people who raised the money, they had to deal with Mr. Bates.
Yeah,
and he wasn't always a prat. I think he was quite helpful with it all, including where they could actually put the statue. Politely speaking. And I think there weren't many options, actually.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think it's a great idea. Move it to nearer the cop.
Yeah, maybe we need to speak to these people.
It's a nice. Well, I don't think they've got any sort of jurisdiction over it now. Mm. You know, left us to it. It's ours.
Mm.
We raise the money. We the fans. You know, it's fantastic.
We'll have to see what obviously our loyal following, which will be up in the 4,000s now. We've got some. we'll see what they say, and we can something we can have a look at. Mm. Definitely. So that's sort of it for Trust News, really. Our membership continues to rise ever so slowly, but it's getting there. Plus 1,000 and I think 100 and something cod last time we had a bit of a check.
Near enough 1,200, I think.
Stocks in the Trust shop as well, aren't
they? Yeah, some special stocks that Rob's got a vested interest in, one of his books.
You a copy, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Of you.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You haven't got a clue what I'm talking about either, have you?
No, I have. I had a look on the shop, actually.
You didn't buy one, though?
No, I'm tight. I'm skinned. I'm from Barnsley. I can't afford out.
I'll tell you what really annoys me about Barnsley, and I'm tapping table here.
Oh, God. Go on.
Jeff Boycott being a scum fan. It's just wrong, isn't it?
There's a few of them things, actually.
Down Goff,
I could tell you some other stuff off camera. off air that will annoy you even more, but I can't say them on here because I might get into trouble. So that sort of brings us to a close. So I'd like to first thank our studio audience. It's just waving. Cheers. Thanks, Ben. Yeah, really good for you coming down. Thanks to Rob and John.
Thank you.
Pleasure. As always.
And thanks to superstar musician and big Leeds fan, Simon Ricks. Thank you very much for coming.
Thanks, Simon. Great.
The getting of Simon consisted of most of my Twitter. They're a Leeds fan. Oh, trust member. Oh, hello. DM. Can I DM you, please? Almost like a right weirdo in celebrity world, just DMing people for Trustcast appearances. But at least I've got the decency to reply.
Yes.
I'll leave that one right there.
Right? Why is there some that?
No, I can't possibly say that on the air next. I'll tell you off air.
Two soap stars totally blanked to me on Twitter. But
soap stars over there then?
Well, Coronation Street, both Leeds fans apparently. Ooh. But
another.
I can't tell you.
Don't watch Corey, sadly.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you've got some interesting replies from two potential HMs. And I remember, so that'll be interesting.
Oh, good. Very good. So, thank you very much, Simon, for coming
on. No problem.
And your busy schedule. And hopefully we'll catch you at Elland Road at some point throughout the season. And that's sort of us for today. So we move on to Port Vale and Preston at home for a sellout. I can't go to Preston. I'm working.
Simon, festival tickets. Just thought I'd put that out there.
Yeah, yeah. That's not happening. anyway, so on that note, there's only one thing for it. I'll sit there.
Just dream.